GRD presents another panel from Congregate. This time it's Geeky Rants. Listen as we throttle pop culture and lambast to the ridiculous, so you don't have to. Featuring moderator podcastings, Rich Siegfried, Tally Johnson, Samantha Bryant, and Misty Massey. We cover such topics as lazy writing, why Wolverine wouldn't actually wear that, magic babies, and douche hair. Enjoy.
This was, I believe, originally created by Chris Shrewsbury, who, if you noticed on the board out there, unfortunately could not be with us this weekend. It's true. He was injured while fighting ninjas, while trying to rescue kitten from a burning orphanage, or
something like that. Yeah.
It could have been fighting kittens at a burning ninja orphanage. I'm not 100% sure.
No injury is either of those are likely, yeah.
Exactly. So
I heard it cost him an arm and a leg, or at least a leg.
He would appreciate
go
that.
Go stand
joke.
In the corner for the rest of the panel. Just go.
Oh, no. He would appreciate that joke. I was really tempted to send him a Sherlock Holmes get well card because the game is. Those of you don't know, Chris Shrewsbury, he had to have a leg amputated. It was a thing that he knew was coming, so it wasn't a surprise. Just a truncated timetable.
Thanks for bringing the panel
down already.
Great.
So what we're going to do is with this panel, it is audience participation, and I'm going to try to serve as traffic director in this because we are geeks, we are nerds. There are things that annoy the crap out of us. And so we're going to give you guys an opportunity to bring up something that annoys you, that's a pet peeve in geekdom. And we're also going to be throwing in our thoughts and stuff like that. And we're going to try to do this kind of one at a time because there will be times where we'll want to tag off of it. But we want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to say their piece about whatever it is. Whether you agree or disagree, keep in mind, we're not going to argue it. We're not going to settle it here. We're just putting it out in the world, and you can deal with it with your therapist in time. So what we'll do is we'll start off with introductions down at the end. Samantha, if you could introduce yourself and let us know merely the subject matter of one of your pet peeves, and then we'll get into it on the next round.
I'm Samantha Bryant. I'm the author of the Menopausal Superhero series, and a lot of things annoy me, but I think the one on my mind right now has to do with our friend Logan, or Wolverine.
Okay. See, that's a little bit of a teaser.
Ooh. Okay, hi, I'm Misty Massey. I am the author of Mad Kestrel and the soon-to-be-released, long-awaited sequel, Kestrel's Dance. I am also the co-editor of The Weird Wild West and Lawless Lands, Tales of the Weird Frontier, both of which are available out in the hallway. And my pet peeve has been for a very long time, the magic baby.
That's a hell of a teaser. Like, what do you have about David Bowie and Muppets?
The Muppets. I'm Tally Johnson. I write True Ghost Stories about South Carolina and a anthology of short fiction. Two copies left in the entire free world. Get yours now. And my geeky rant has to do with the wonderful person known as Douche Hair.
Douche hair. All right. My name is Rich Siegfried. I am also known as Podcasting's Rich Siegfried. I am the MC for various things throughout the convention. I'll be doing the masquerade later on, the costume contest here. And when it comes to the geeky rant, I think one of the biggest pet peeves for me tends to be lazy storytelling or an unjustified villainous actions. So, Samantha, why don't we start with you? Why don't you kick us off with the thing that annoys you in geek fandom?
Okay, so one of the first superheroes to really catch my attention and that I loved was Wolverine or Logan, but I have never believed for a second that he would wear these yellow tights. At all.
Oh, so you're going all the way back to the yellow tights?
Yeah.
Wow.
He is a white t-shirt and blue jeans guy. There is no way that he would ever have worn these yellow tights. And any group that required him to wear the yellow tights, he wouldn't have joined.
Well, I think the thing is that it really based around the natural fur coloring of the Wolverine, as they are yellow with stripes. Are they not? No?
No.
Then where in the hell would they come up with this game like that?
I'm pretty sure Wolverines are not actually Pokemon. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. I teach Spanish, but I'm pretty sure.
Now, I will say that that's bad, but they were going to make Logan a mutated Wolverine. Like a man-sized Wolverine thing.
Instead of just a short-haired Canadian guy.
Instead of a short-haired Canadian with a bad temper.
Yeah. Oh, and I've just looked it up. Wolverines are a sort of reddish-brown with black feet. So, no, not yellow.
No, not yellow.
And I've never seen one smoke a cigar either.
You know what? We may be overlooking the fact that the original artist may have been colorblind. And so we're making fun of his disability.
And that is wrong of us.
That's okay.
But we're bad people, so that's okay.
And of course, we all know Wolverines have the extendable claws and have skeletons made of metal.
I think that's
a good point, because it's not just Wolverine, but it's almost all comic book characters. They have the most ridiculous costumes possible, and of course, one of the biggest offenders of that would be any female superhero. With an entire bulletproof suit, and then there's, the midriff showing.
The window.
And the window, exactly.
The boot window. That's a good one, yeah.
That could at least serve as a distraction until you go up against a homosexual villain.
Right.
So I can see that they're, most gay men I know love boobs, so never mind. But it can still be a very distracting for people. And that's actually one of the things that I will say as a positive about the new Wonder Woman movie, is that they handled the innate sexuality of the character in a really respectful way, where one of her superpowers wasn't structural engineering or cleavage. It was something that was still strong and well represented, but not in any way, shape, or form did it ever look spandex.
I love the part where she was trying to pick clothes that would be socially acceptable in England.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's not just superheroines, though. I mean, Batman puts a bullseye right here. Big yellow shoot me sign.
Well, it depends on which comic, because for a while it was the dark color, but that would you can extend that to Robin, bright red, and a target, which was never muted colors. It was always...
Robin was always, here, kidnap me, please. And I think Batman was kind of like, for $1, I'll give him to you.
It's called strategy, Alfred.
Remember the pun that Burt Ward pulled off?
If you go back to Adam West, though, if Robin didn't get himself strapped to a board with the chainsaw coming towards him, what was Batman going to do? He was just going to sit home and wait? He needed Robin to get in trouble.
There's nothing to do.
Now I'm just curious because we have 15 minutes on Aunt Harriet's and a support hose. That was last year at
So, Missy, how about you? We've got the superhero costumes, specifically Wolverine.
Yellow pajamas. Okay.
As ridiculous as it is.
Well, mine is the magic baby. The magic baby is the baby that occurs when someone in a story inconceivably becomes pregnant, usually in the middle of some battle or some sort of war, that suddenly they become pregnant, and they're pregnant for about day and a half, and have the baby with relative ease, and then the baby is grown to adulthood in another, day and a half, maybe 3 days, if we want to be a little more realistic. I'm sorry. There is just no way. We're still following natural laws of the planet, and that baby would have to eat everything in its path in order to gain that much weight and grow that fast. Everyone in town would have died. Because the baby also ends up being extraordinarily smart or extraordinarily evil. I'm sorry, it's a baby. It's 3 days old. It can't figure all that out that fast.
It's still working on our mitos.
It looks like a 27-year-old.
I read that myth. They wound up eating like an entire herd of sheep and like stacking mountains on top of each other. Yeah. And like a week old, yeah.
Do you watch things other than soap operas? Because that seems like that's where the most prevalent. Do you have an example?
Was it the 1400? Was that it was a cable show, and it was about all these people that got taken up into a spaceship, and then
the 4400?
4,400. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
I think the 1,400, that was about Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, it's been a while since I watched it.
They get the entire, he didn't discover America. Apparently, he had a baby there in the middle of a battle, and it grew up to be 27 in 3 days. You can't believe anything you
learned.
But no, in the 4,400, near the, you know, in the last season, they had this magic baby that popped up, and she's... She grew to adulthood in just a few days, and she was evil. And
they did at least offer some kind of explanation. Like, she wasn't supposed to be just a normal human baby, right? Because, you know, there were aliens involved. And
the hybrid.
But still.
They did the same thing in Buffy with Connor.
Yes. Angel.
Angel.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You got Gina Torres as a mom, sure, but still, it just.
Yeah.
Connor just. Like,
and I adore Gina Torres, but really, Connor, no.
But part of that whole thing is too of like every superhero has a kid now, like a biological child, and I'm like, okay, for 75 years, Batman has hooked up with everything in a skirt in the entire DCU and has never had a kid. Now he's got like 47 of them. And I'm like,
it's called strategy, Alfred.
Really?
I need Robins.
Really? They didn't have birth control on Krypton? I mean, come on now. That's a whole other issue as far as Superman goes.
Well, but
then
we retcon children in, right? Because we need the, now that they're a little older, we need something to come back and cause them trouble. So there's this kid they didn't know they had.
Right.
Well, and we knew in Superman Returns that that wasn't Superman's kid because Lois Lane was still in one piece.
Yeah, exactly. Faster than a speeding bullet, folks. The visuals are free.
Say hello to Krypton on your way out there.
Yeah. Light speed ahoy. We're glad that we're getting our fill.
This is why we need an adult as a moderator.
We just couldn't find one.
None of them are here.
Did anybody bring one?
Ourselves.
So how about you, Tally?
My pet peeve is a young gentleman with a TV show called Ghost Adventures. His name is Zach Bagans. He is very fond of Ed Hardy shirts that are about 16 sizes too small.
Oh, good God.
And he has douche hair. Where you get where the little bit you have left, you comb to that point right here.
Like a shark fin?
Yeah. It's stupid. He literally looks completely stupid. Everything is night vision. Now, it is 3 o'clock in the afternoon in High Point. We're filming in night vision. Like this.
I always thought there was something wrong with my TV.
No, it's him.
Oh, okay.
And everything on the show, if it's not been faked, is a demon. Everything. If it's not Zach, it's a demon.
Well, you know, there's a lot of demons here in the South. You know, it's hot here.
We elect them to office. We don't have them running around in abandoned mortuaries.
I
explains Rod in Columbia.
I love the career path, though. Of you get your start as a bouncer in a New Jersey bar, and then you become a ghost hunter. That seems to be the natural progression.
Well, my accent held me back. They racial profiled me for the bouncer job in Jersey. They said my accent was off, and I didn't buy it. This is my Boston accent.
And your hair doesn't have the same height.
Oh, Lord, no.
You get the douche fin.
It didn't when I was a child either. Yeah, I had cowlicks. But those shows in
you cannot in say cowlick with an accent like that, brother. I'm sorry. It paints a very different picture.
What happens in the trailer park stays in the trailer park. We've had this talk.
Until you have to move it to a different trailer park.
We've had this talk. That wasn't my fault. But no, those shows drive me insane because if you want to be a ghost hunter, and that term's stupid too, come with me up to 5:10 tonight about 11:30. I'm going to cut the lights off. There's a chair in my room. You can sit there till morning. Don't move, don't think, don't blink. Y'all have big fun. I'm going to get some rest. That's ghost hunting. There is no demon, because despite what Misty says about Columbia and Raleigh being eat up with demons than they are in the legislature, as far as your random hotel room, there ain't none. There ain't that many ghosts. But no, Zach.
I would just like to see one that has died since the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
You never see, and I think it's Chris Hardwick does a bit about this, where you never actually see a ghost that is wearing basically anything modern or even like, you know, the big leg warmers and stuff like that from the 80s. It's always, never from the 1980s, it's always from the 1880s. You know, it never
you
seems
to be. You need
to
hang out with me more. Trust me, I'll hook you up later. That panel's tomorrow at 2:30.
That's kind of like all the people that say, you know, that they've been reincarnated, and you say, oh, really, that's exciting, and they go, yes, I was Cleopatra. Really? All of you were Cleopatra.
You should get a support group together. We'd have to rent a bigger hotel, but yeah, y'all get together.
You kind of wonder where all those maidservants and millers and bread makers that hang out in the market, you know, how come they didn't reincarnate? Where the hell are they?
They're just in denial.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah. Can I borrow your mic stand real quick?
No, you're right. It's never a common person. It's never like I was a pea bucket holder for the king of England. It's always the king of England.
Yeah. And it's never one of the kings who lasted like 15 minutes, like, you know, George the 37th. It's like, I'm in the 8th.
Sure you are.
Yeah. That was a song.
Yeah.
That's Henry.
Henry.
Henry, yeah, that's right.
Henry.
Henry the 8th, I am.
Oh, God, don't start. Say something else.
No, you're worse. You're one for
forbidden. No. No panel karaoke yet.
It'll have to be not karaoke. Yeah, we'll
see. Well, for me, one of the biggest pet peeves that I have is unjustified villainy, where a villain should never act like they know that they are a villain. Every villain thinks they're the hero. Every human being on the planet, it doesn't matter if it's a guy on a ghost hunter show or Mother Teresa, they think that they're the hero of their story.
Yeah.
And some of them are justified in that, and then some people aren't. And so everything needs to be justified. And this is something that I learned as a kid watching pro wrestling. Because whenever a bad guy would cut a promo and it didn't make any sense because it doesn't, like he shouldn't be, I want to go out there and slap babies. It's like nobody wants to do that. That should be an accident that
happens.
Well,
maybe at 2 or 3 in the morning when it's...
Well, no, yeah, true.
But, magic babies I could slap.
But so when you have villains that are just doing, I'm evil, it's just like, no, you're an idiot. Stop it. You're just boring me. And a lot of times that ends up being more of an example of bad writing, where they can't, the writer doesn't know how to justify. And yes, I am talking about the bad level of writing that we got from George Lucas, that where Padme dying of a broken heart. She didn't die of a broken heart. She died of bad writing. That is what happened in that situation.
Yeah.
Many a heroine has died of bad writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it tends to be mostly women.
Women in the fridge.
And in fairness, that women in the fridge? What? I don't need to know about your Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull fanfic.
No. Women in refrigerators is a trope in comics where the villain, in order to hurt the hero or...
The male hero.
Yeah, the male hero.
Of
always
course.
The male hero. Green
what
Lantern.
What other kind is there?
Green Lantern, I think, was the first bit of Kyle Rayner. Mm-hmm. You know, in order to make him more of a hero or to use his power to the full potential.
Or motivate him to come to the fight.
Yeah, the love interest has to be killed and not just, you know, shot from long range with a high-powered rifle. Mutilated, raped, abused, and literally stuffed into a refrigerator.
And left for our hero to find.
Yeah, so our hero comes in and says, oh, and then we have the superpower up and all this stuff. And it's the same kind of thing. It's bad writing. And the 90s, that's one of the reasons why I quit buying comics. There are reasons why I still don't buy comics, which we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, women in refrigerators, because every superhero had that. I mean, Batman had it for a while. I think Robin... And I voted to kill Jason Todd. Hey, I spent $5 to kill that little punk. 50 cent a call back in the day, yeah. But all of them had it. And it's like, really? You can't think of another reason to make Batman want to whoop the Joker's tail? Because, I mean, I've got 50 years of history here that says he's justified in beating the hell out of him.
I think they just wanted to get rid of an annoying character. So it ended up being good writing dealing with bad writing.
Well, no, the trope got overused. I mean, one time was shocking, but I mean...
Yeah. Although I would say that Seven used it fairly well. Right at the end when you find out that Goop's head is in a box. Like, that to me was...
Yeah. What's in the box?
Kind of a shocking thing. And I thought that was well done. So even bad tropey things can be still used right, but it has to be well written.
It had not been done over and over and over, like in the comics. In the movies, that was still one of those phase of the death moments where you're like, holy crap, really?
Yeah.
But in the comic book, it was like, Batman this month, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Spider-Man, Wolverine had, four or five in 1 year, I think, one time. Probably. Professor X, The Tick. I mean, just keep going down the list. We've got to stack this up.
Like, it's not dangerous enough to love Wolverine.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, you guys kept saying justified, and so now I keep thinking about Boyd Crowder, and I really just can't get my attention anywhere else. I'm sorry.
Great. Now
do we need to sing here in Henry VIII?
No, please don't. I'd rather think about Boyd.
So. I'm just trying to help. One of the
reasons
there was
let's see if we can get this back on track.
I liked the track I was on.
No, I'm having to do this for myself because I'm a huge Walton Goggins fan too, and Boyd Crowder. He was just bad man.
Oh,
good bad man.
Good bad man.
Panel. So, how about you guys? Let's start to you guys. Is there something in particular that you find as a pet peeve that annoys you? And we'll throw it out there, we'll let you make the case for it, and then we'll roll with it for a little bit, and once we feel that it's exhausted, then we'll have another one. So how about you, young man? Go ahead and stand up, state your name, and tell us...
I'm Steven. I was here at the last commands. I think we might be well acquainted.
I wasn't here for that last one, but you were here for my trivia, so welcome back.
Okay. And this is one that I just lately came across. So... If the Mon Calamari are in Rogue One, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand out of universe why they wouldn't be in the Battle of Yavin, but in universe there's like no reason. All you have to do is just edit a few ships in. That's all you have to do. I'm okay with them fixing this. That's okay. Just either show up. It's like they're like, oh, sorry, you need no help. See ya. Jerks.
So during the Battle of Yavin, the original Star Wars, there weren't any Mon Calamari ships, but we did see them in Rogue One. So
in universe, it doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
In universe, it does.
Well, I think in that, I think that because the Death Star showing up at Yavin 4, it was a surprise attack. So a lot of the big capital ships, they would have been elsewhere. But yeah, it does seem like if this is the secret base, this is the base, the one spot where the rebels are hiding out, there kind of would have been more than, 12 ships, I think, 12 X-Wings, because they didn't have any A-Wings. They did have a handful of Y-Wings, but there weren't all that many. I think there were 4 of those. It just, you're absolutely right. In that movie, it just felt like, that's the army. I don't know what the problem is. It'd be really, seriously, just blow up the damn planet. I think the thing that's more annoying about that was that the Death Star, which is able to apparently use hyperspace and get around everywhere. We're like, oh, we could pop in, blow them out, be gone. 30 seconds tops, Lord Vader. So what do we want to do? I think Grand Moff Tarkin wants us to pop on the other side to give him a chance to fight back and escape. Oh, no, no. We're fine. There's no way in hell that the guy who built the thing would have added some sort of, the guy who was totally against everything we were doing, would have put in some sort of, secret trap that could defeat us.
With
that doesn't
magic.
Seem plausible at all.
With magic.
With magic, with some sort of the Force, because it's not like anybody else uses that. Am I right, Vader? The fact that we had this in Star Wars, we had this massive universe of all these different creatures. We saw that in the cantina scene. We saw it on different planets throughout the movie. And then we get to Yavin 4, and it's like, hey, a whole bunch of white guys. Come on, let's go fight. Like, wait, what? Never mind the fact that everybody with a British accent is obviously a bad guy.
Well, yeah.
He's still got imperialism issues.
Yeah.
History.
USA.
Well, yeah, some scars run real deep.
And George Lucas's middle names are Ryder Convenience. So.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. And so you've got one. Go ahead and stand up. Say what's your name and what annoys you.
I'm Jim Brenner, a.k.a. Arlene Fowler, today. My biggest one is just the response. Anybody's a big Marvel Avengers fan, I'm sorry. But that last movie, Civil War, is actually Captain America movie. But it really was pointless. The fights between all of the Avengers, you knew they didn't really want to hurt each other. And then when somebody actually got hurt, they were all freaked out and upset.
It's been a couple years. If they haven't seen it, it's not our problem.
Yeah.
But that just started me crazy because it was pointless fighting, so I got bored. My husband enjoyed it, but I just got bored. So I'm like, if they even said it while they were fighting, are we still friends?
Yeah.
Depends on how hard you hit me. I mean, they even said that.
And so basically, the Civil War, why were they fighting?
Because it
was a pointless fight, because it's not like any of them were going for the jugular. Because they're like, hey, we're buddies. It's going to make the Christmas party really awkward if I accidentally kill four of you. Yeah, no, totally. So, Tally, you want to jump in on this one?
Yeah. speaking of reasons, I don't read comics anymore. Mm-hmm. One More Day. Remember that? Spider-Man makes a deal with the devil to be single. To save his 100-year-old aunt. I'm getting there. Hold on, let me ride. Remember that? Then we have Civil War, the comics, where we're going to have, knockdown, drag out, Iron Man versus Captain America. No one gets hurt but the black guy.
27 issues. If you're wondering, that is an example of bad
writing. 27 issues across 40 at $4 a pop. We get a chipped nail and a dead black guy. Seriously, just like the movies, like, oh, Bucky twisted his ankle, fight's over, everybody back off, we're good.
Well, except Rhodey went in the dirt in the movie.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. He had to rehab and everything. If only Tony could make him some artificial limbs or something, like an exosuit.
Yeah, like an exosuit that's made of some kind of metal. And then we have the current reason I don't buy comics. Nick Spencer, Captain America, is the head of Hydra, and has been since the 30s.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
No, we don't do that.
Not the cap, ain't Captain America. I don't care how much Marvel spends to convince me otherwise. My cap is somewhere in a coma, having a fever dream, waiting to wake up, and is going to beat somebody's face in when he comes to. Nazi Cap ain't Cap.
He might wake up inside of a snow globe held by a kid from St. Elsewhere. You don't know that.
That would not be
what's going to happen. Because the story has not been told yet, and that's one of the tricky things. The story hasn't been told yet, so we don't know how it's actually going to end.
If Joe Quesada is listening to this,
as he does,
I'm going to hunt you down and say, it's your fault, Rich. You did it.
Well, in comics in general, they really love that hero-on-hero action. And I think not that kind of action. That would be better. That's called fan fiction.
Boyd and Raylan.
Sorry, I'm going to have to leave now. You'll be in your bunk room?
Yeah. I'm just going to take my key and go.
But I think it is kind of a lazy way to try to ramp up a little bit of drama, is to just say, okay, well, let's have the friends fight each other, because then we'll have the tension of, but they're friends. And mostly it makes the fight kind of lame. Yeah.
Well, and that actually, that goes to what I was saying with one of mine. It's that kind of unjustified fighting. I bring up wrestling again. I have actually worked in indie pro wrestling, and I wrote a story that they would not use. And it's something that has always annoyed me in pro wrestling. When you have two faces, two good guys fighting, there should never be a punch thrown. There should be nothing that could damage the other person, because it should be a contest of who is better, who is more clever. It should be things like submission holds. It should be things like that. It should never be something that could potentially kill one of the superheroes. It should be more along the lines of fooling them, trapping them, tricking them, never about destroying them, because that doesn't make any damn sense. Because that is throwing away generations of previous material. And also, more importantly, where the hell do you go after that? Again, going back to my joke about Thanksgiving being real awkward at Avenger Tower after the Civil War.
Yeah, if Superman does lobotomize Batman with heat vision, how do you explain that to the rest of the DCU? I mean, really. I mean, you know, your two icons just had a fist fight and one of them is now a vegetable. Because that's how that fight's going down. Yeah. I mean, it's like me versus that wall. It's not going to be a happy ending.
I got money on the wall.
Yeah,
I have faith in you, but I got money on the wall.
That's the point, too, that it's just like there's no...
It's true.
There are no stakes because it's going to wind up being undone. And I'm like, I will give you money. I don't mind giving you money for stuff that I like. But, again, let there be a point to it. Let there be a payoff. And in that movie, there's no payoff. In the comic series, there's no payoff.
Yeah, there was for Marvel. Absolutely.
Not none of mine. Not even Redbox, baby.
Well, and
I know. They told me that more than once,
If you burn enough of your viewership or readership or whatever with this kind of shenanigans, then you get your payoff now, but you've killed your future payoff. You lost all my future business.
Yeah, right. and even that fight with Tony Stark being angry about Bucky killing his parents, he was such a knob at the beginning of the first Iron Man because he was an arms dealer, he's a rich playboy, I don't care about anything, drive fast cars, fast women, you know. And then all of a sudden he has a change of heart. He realizes this amazing thing happened to him and that was a life-changing event and he moves on. So he apparently just forgets all about that. And we've seen this regularly with Tony Stark. It's really a pattern with him. Because at the end of Iron Man 3, he's like, all right, I'm done with Iron Man. Look, look at all the fireworks. Those are all my old suits going off. Next up in the Avengers movie, hey, look at that. I got a new suit. And it's like he'd given up completely all the stuff that he had learned in Iron Man 3. So when he comes to Bucky, and he's like, oh, you used to be assassin? Okay, you're doing a lot better. I understand. You know, Steve, you're vouching for the guy. Okay. Wait, you killed my mom? You must die. Like, wow. And at no point in time did this guy not go through any therapy himself. He seems to have no self-reflective qualities. And he's loaded. So you know he can afford one. It just seems like, again, bad writing where they just completely this is a thing that needs to happen.
All right, Robert Downey Jr. does know a lot about relapse and rehab.
Well, if there was a straw in the suit going to like just Jaeger packs all along the suit, I would totally buy him wanting to fight Cap because he's like, I'll take all you guys.
Comic Tony does have those issues with addiction and everything, which kind of explain why that would be a problem.
Yeah, and he keeps hearing a voice in his head all the time. He calls him Jarvis. I don't know what that's.
Yeah, but he's got the issue of being a hard case alcoholic, which, and again, Robert Downey Jr. should be able to act that, considering you know he's got my lifespan's worth of rehab. Yeah.
But film Iron Man doesn't have that problem.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's if you have a weakness like that. Mm-hmm. Use it, and you know, you raise a comic book movie to that next level.
Yeah,
and they stepped on.
Yeah,
stepped on it.
To me, Age of Ultron is the only clunker that Joss Whedon has ever put out. To me, that is the one clunker, and a lot of those things permeate in there where it is kind of that lazy writing and stuff like that, which does lead to Civil War, which I think in and of itself was a solid story, but again, what the hell do you do with these demigods that are brawling? Like I felt that their fights were even justified, but not the way that they would fight each other.
When they left the war in Homecal, do you know why? Because they could kill anyone in a second.
Yeah.
I mean, so they can't be evolved because then there would be.
Well, this is one of the things, you know, we're gonna go out back in them for a minute, you know, in street clothes, and we're gonna settle this like men, and you know whoever comes back in with the black eye, you know, with the argument like we used to when we were in school, but now we've escalated to the point where we're going to put on super suits and do this.
Well, it's not like Tony Stark's going to arm wrestle Hulk.
No, but I mean, but him and Steve would be a reasonably fair fight. I mean,
as long as he wears his suit.
Yeah, as long as he wears the suit. True.
Right.
Well, his other superpower is money. So.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Bruce Wayne.
Exactly.
What's your superpower? I'm rich.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, and that's a pretty darn good superpower.
I think
I can go with a little of that myself.
Sure. Where do I take it? All the way to the president.
Again, demons in legislature.
Yeah. I can't give money. I can't reach my wallet. All right. So, <that's good. laughs> How about you, young man?
The most recent
movie. Transformers movie? Okay.
They overhyped many scenes in the movie way too much. And I've seen this in previous movies of different genres and stuff. They overhyped one scene a lot too much. They overhyped the Bumblebee versus Optimus Prime scene way too much, where they didn't show up until 2 hours into the movie and it was a 2 minute scene where Bumblebee, I'm not going to say what happens in the scene because it is a fairly recent movie. But they overhype the scene and they overhype a lot of things a lot too much, and it makes it even less enjoyable when you go and see it yourself.
So you're kind of talking about trailers in general and how they seem to focus on, they either give away the best parts or focus on what is a flashy scene but maybe doesn't give a representation of the movie itself?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a movie, if there's a movie, if there's a movie that I want to see, I really avoid all the trailers because if one way or another, it is going to spoil the experience for me.
The only ones that I would say don't so far are the new Star Wars movies. Rogue One showed us that you're going to see stuff that's not even going to be in the movie. And actually with the new Spider-Man movie too, that apparently a bunch of the scenes that they shot aren't in the movie. Spidey swinging with Iron Man flying next to him and Vulture coming through the ceiling. Like, apparently those aren't in the flick. No problem. But some of the bigger ones in Rogue One, where the TIE fighter's coming down while Jyn Erso's limping along to get to the thing. And then when you actually watch the movie, you totally forget that, there was no TIE fighter there. Because when I was watching, I'm like, how's she going to get out of that? And then when I'm watching the movie, it's like, oh, that didn't actually happen. Okay, cool. But yeah, and specifically with that, with the Transformers, I think that's kind of a tough example, only because I am nearly 40 years old. When I watch any of the Transformers movie, I'm assuming it's just footage of a car being compacted at a junkyard, because I can't tell the difference of what the hell's happening. So I really don't know if that was any of those things were in any of those movies. But yeah. It can be tough when you have like a big, like, I'm okay with a trailer that once you've seen the movie, you watch a trailer, then you get the importance of what you saw. But if they are giving away major spoiler plot points, that's just bad marketing. Like, if your story is so crappy that you can't pull from other things, then maybe take a couple more passes at the script or shoot it again, something.
Well, I think part of it with movies like Transformers, especially, and the Avengers movies and DCU stuff.
The big blockbuster stuff.
Stuff is the movie is almost tertiary. It's not even secondary. It's like, okay, we have to get buzz on social media at all cost. So therefore, we're going to put, everything in the trailer. Regardless of whether or not it makes sense, we've got different order, random order, whatever, just put it in the trailer. Then we have to have the merchandising. Mm-hmm. Because Transformers can make $1.50 in the box office. Hasbro is going to get their bank from, her at Christmas. Because she's going to have to buy every toy that comes out, every playset, because I've got them all in Mom and Dad's attic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bumblebee's got a scar under his left eye. Also get the collectible figure of him with the scar under the right eye.
Those on sale now for $37.95.
You're going to love me if you don't buy all of them. Well, therapy if I buy all of them.
Batman. Mommy needs her medicine. Batman 1989 is all I'm going to say on the point of the merchandising. But that's the thing. I mean, and that's what it is. We get the buzz, we get the sales. Oh, we've got a movie, too, if y'all want to come see it. Right. And if the movie sucks, it'll be in a red box, and you didn't pay $10 in the movie theater. You'll pay $1.50 a day to watch it. I know you will.
Or wait for Netflix.
Yep.
And Netflix is what, $10 a month?
We're getting our bank anyway. Well, exactly. Yes. With the variant cover, totally.
Well, and with the extra 14 seconds of footage that changes the whole story.
or the deleted scene where one of them accidentally says the wrong word.
Or the commentary with the guy you forgot was in the movie.
I want movies to start coming out with people that were cut out of the movie doing the commentary.
This is where my scene would have been.
Yeah. And this would have been my big moment when I got my Screen Actors Guild card, but no.
Well, you know, the craft services table was pretty good that day, so at least got that going for me.
Yeah. But the director's third girlfriend that week had to be in instead, so...
Do you know what it means when the director came out and he had, like, powdered donut or something? I don't know. I've had so many lawsuits from all that. But good trailers, you can typically see them from dramas because they don't have that flashy stuff. And you also don't have to worry about the marketing stuff, like the merchandising things. I mean, I think it would have been inappropriate if they'd had, like, you know, 12 Years of Slave action figures, collect them all. But it's okay.
Except you can't because you can't find them.
Thanks to Lincoln, we can laugh at
them. They never make one with a black guy.
But the book domain, they're not making any money off of that either, so yeah.
That's true. When you watch the dramas, you can tell that because a lot of the big action movies, they have to hit hard with a bunch of trailers. Because they will make a bunch of money just from the merchandising before the flick even comes out, especially if it's a known brand. The comic book ones, the Transformers, all of those that are a well-established brand, they push that stuff out because they know if they take a bath at any point in time with the movie, because they know they can get money on that opening weekend, but if the movie sucks, the weekend after that, they're not getting anything, but if they've at least made money on the toys, on those little plastic action figures. Because you think about how many, there are R-rated movies out there where they release toys ahead of time and the toys did well. Mm-hmm. It's like, how would the kids even know that that was a thing? But they did.
Kids don't buy action figures anymore, Rich. I'm gonna change your life. Kids don't buy stuff like that anymore. It's people like us that are bringing that out. Have you surprised action figures lately?
All I'm saying is that
that's a hell of a paper route.
There are Deadpool action figures out there, and kids buy them too, not just the adults.
I work in a public library. I know kids that could teach Deadpool how to use language in a book.
Also true.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's have one more. We've only got about 3 minutes left. So, is there somebody who hasn't mentioned one?
All the way
if they've got one, you sir in the back.
Yeah. One of my big pet peeves with movies right now is why do they have to remake everything?
Oh my God.
Why do they have to remake the dial?
They remade Spider-Man how many times? They remade Batman how many times?
Because they want money, and established brand means that people are either going to come in to because they love the character or they will hate watch the hell out of a movie just so they have content for their blog. It's a thing. It is cheaper, and they're guaranteed to make at least 1 to 2 commas at the end of box office if it's something that has previously existed.
But he's got a point, though. Beguiled is not a movie that people are going to line up to go watch, even if you could even see.
Wait, what movie?
Beguiled. The Clint Eastwood movie from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a movie people are going to line up to go watch unless you could see little Nicole Kidman.
Bedazzled, or what was that one with?
Bedazzled.
Bedazzled, the
one that.
But at least it has like a -3 on Rotten Tomatoes.
But of course, one of the biggest examples that we can see where it really bites him in the tailpipe would be Catwoman, the one with Halle Berry, where they so crapped the bed on that so hard. It was just utterly ridiculous, and not even according to the original source material. But we also know that remakes will happen enough times for people to maintain copyright, too. That's one of the reasons why we had the Fantastic 43, which had nothing to do with the original 2, and just stuff like that. Or the various versions of Spider-Man. The less than amazing Spider-Man. We had 2 flicks after after the studios ruined Sam Raimi's third one. But now we've got Tom Holland, where they had to, and that's what I thought you were talking about with Civil War, that Spider-Man sold his soul, but now he's over at Marvel. So if that was the deal, I'm fine with it.
And speaking of remakes, you know how Disney is now remaking all of their animated features in live action. This is killing me. I just found out this a couple of days ago, but they're having trouble remaking Aladdin as a live action because they apparently just can't find a man to play Aladdin who can sing, dance, act, and, you know, look Middle Eastern.
No. Well, that's young. Maybe that's the case. They're looking for somebody.
I'm sorry. There's an entire subcontinent full of young 20-something men who can sing, dance, and act.
You don't need to know your browser history. No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, they
can find a floating blue genie.
Yeah, they can find a floating blue genie, but yeah.
Yeah, played by, I've heard that it might be Will Smith.
As
the genie. Yes. Yes. Will Smith is the genie.
Oh,
am I right? Okay.
And then Will Smith is interchangeable with Robin Williams. I
and
can
let us point out, Robin Williams said, Robin Williams pointed out, thou shalt not use any of my stuff when I played the genie in anything. No video game, no direct to video, no outtakes, not even a added features reel. He said Disney gets what's in the final cut and everything else is gone.
Yeah, wow.
Because they took advantage of his good nature and bipolar, and he was like, here's a great big flying fickle finger of fate. You ain't getting squadoodle. But they're doing the shot-for-shot remakes to save the copyright because it's ticking, ticking, ticking. And if you think Disney's going to get to leave money on the table, give you one of these for free.
Well, guys, that's our time. Thank you so much for coming out to Geeky Rants. If you enjoyed it, please let the convention know so that way we can bring it back again next year. So thank you very much for participating and giving us and sharing your pet peeves, not only with us on the panel, but also the rest of the audience. So thank you very much, guys. Enjoy the rest of the con.
Thank you. Come buy our stuff.
Buy their stuff. I have no stuff to buy.
You want to sell
a
book?
Good. I have an hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have two copies of Creek Walking right here. Allow me to give you an example of the fine writing that Tally does. Sir, give me. Tell me when to stop.
Now.
Okay.
See, that's a smart man.
Tell me when to stop.
There.
All right. But the main lines... Now, those were the meat in my sandwich. So that is the kind of fine writing you can expect.
And now the context is going to have to wait. Y'all come see me at 8 o'clock up in working conditions. That's it.
That's one of my favorite gags.
Oh, yes. And I love it. I love it. I approve that
message. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Congregate, for a tremendous weekend, as you guys do each and every year. Check them out at con-gregate.com so you can get ready for next year. Extra special thanks to Tally Johnson, Samantha Bryant, Misty Massey, and myself, Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, who served as your humble moderator. You're right, I was pretty awesome. And super special thanks to our delightful audience that came out and helped us wring pop culture dry. This panel was originally created by the effervescent Chris Shrewsbury, who couldn't be with us. We love you, brother. Yes, that way. This has been a special presentation of GeekRadioDaily.com.